Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jim.
Neville Gibson, hello.
Good afternoon, Jim.
We are going to have Neville and Steve on the panel today, as you may have gathered, talking about the fattening of the nation, more and more fast food being consumed, the simple secrets of happiness, the mental problems in the military, tower insurance, and the Wellington garage that came down in the storm. Or was it that the Wellington garage came down because of rusty screws? And the serious suggestion that we should ditch the internet because it's more trouble than it's worth. Gentlemen. Noelle McCarthy here talking about what the world's talking about.
Well, I wouldn't have much to talk about if it wasn't for the internet, would I?
No, well, I suppose that's true.
You ask me the time of day.
Well, you'd have to be an old-fashioned gumshoe and get out on the streets.
That's right. Noelle would be here, but she's out talking to people, so she can't do this. Here's what I have culled from the internet this afternoon. Egypt's been in the news. We've just heard about it at 3 o'clock. The military, of course, have given the president 48 hours to sort out the protesters or say they'll do it for him. So far, this seems to have been greeted with jubilation by the assembled protesters.
But, oh, they're quite keen on the idea.
Quite keen on anyone except, I think it's an ABU situation, isn't it?
Except Mr. Morsi.
Exactly. But they have stopped short of calling for him to step down. They've just indicated that they're quite willing and able to impose their own roadmap, should that be necessary. And so far they've been calling the protests glorious.
Glorious.
Yeah.
Neville Gibson, when the Egyptian spring first started glimmering, did you suspect the military in the end would have to come in and sort it all out?
Yeah, the problem here is that revolutionary hordes in the streets don't know how to run governments, and the Muslim Brotherhood was once an underground movement, and while they're popular, they've got no experience of running governments, and whereas the military at least has experience, even if people don't like the way they do it.
Yeah.
There's no alternative.
I suppose that actually sums it up. But it's a shame it's come to this. Well, they've got to get their act together in 48 hours.
That's right.
And then the military says, all right, we're taking over, boys.
Yeah, sources close to him are said to be outraged, but as to what he'll do with that outrage, who knows? Next 48 hours to look at that.
It's an interesting idea, isn't it, really? You know, the military is a third branch of government.
I think it's
their own check and balance system.
Yeah.
I suppose that's one way of describing it. Okay. Julian Assange, what's happening with him?
That's right. Well, this is the question. What happens to him if he does get thrown out of his safe haven in the Ecuadorian embassy? And this is on the table because it's emerged that it was Julian Assange, of course, who tried to ease Edward Snowden's passage into Ecuador with a letter that he worked on with an Ecuadorian diplomat. But he did this without the knowledge of the Ecuadorian president, who's none too pleased about it and has
evidently
been making his displeasure known. He's quite annoyed about this, in fact. And
he's getting less and less pleased.
Things could get quite hairy for Julian Assange if that relationship becomes strained to the point where he is invited to pack his bags and go, because he's facing extradition to Sweden if he leaves that safe haven.
Well, how does he get out of the embassy? I mean, I know it hasn't come to that, but it's interesting because Ecuador is now saying Russia can take him. And Russia hasn't yet indicated that it will take
him. Well, meanwhile,
but they're blaming Assange for stirring.
I don't know if they're
queering the pitch.
If it's the action itself is the problem so much as the fact that they weren't told about it. It all happened behind the president's back.
Yeah, well, they seem to be mightily miffed.
Yeah. Meanwhile, poor Ed is still, of course, in limbo in Moscow at the
and
airport.
Julian's in the embassy.
Yeah, like the character in the Tom Hanks film. Yeah.
I know.
So it was all for nothing. That's the other point, of course.
It's an interesting situation if he has to leave the Ecuadorian embassy.
Well, there is historical precedent for trying to get people through in diplomatic pouches.
Really?
A diplomatic pouch isn't literally a bag with the word diplomatic written on it. It's any form of conveyance which is designated as a diplomatic pouch. And there is historical precedent for trying to put a person inside some form of container and labelling it a diplomatic pouch.
Like what? Like something you could carry golf clubs in?
No, well, you'd have to. He's kind of tall for that, really, isn't he?
A surfboard
holder?
Yeah,
I'm thinking maybe even a car.
Conceivably
could be designated a diplomatic bag for these purposes.
I've forgotten all the discussion at the time, but didn't the English police effectively kibosh all those possibilities? There was no way he could actually get to the airport.
Well, they were saying at the time that that British law meant that we reserved the right to invade the embassy if we decided that we jolly well needed to. The rest of the world were going, we'll see about that. But the British have basically said, okay, fine, you're in the embassy, you're staying there. And I think that they will probably say, well, no, we don't accept the diplomatic pouchiness any pouch we try and designate.
I think that was the clear message at the time.
If Margaret Thatcher was still running the show, they would have invaded the
industry. Ah, those were the glorious days, Neville.
No, as they did to the Iranians.
It's the Ecuadorian, not the Argentinian embassy. When,
that's
you know,
right.
We're fussy who we South
Africa.
Not the Falklands. I was staying on a sort of all things airline related. It's bad news in India for men who want to be flight attendants, because one of the busy budget airlines in India has decided to implement a new policy. From now on, they're hiring women only, and lightweight women at that. This is following in the footsteps of airlines like Ryanair, which in 2010 declared that it would only be hiring women because they've calculated the cost of the weight of female attendants as opposed to male attendants. And they worked out that if they only hire lightweight women, it'll save them more than $500 US a year in fuel costs. You're nodding your head.
Well, if they only carried women. If they only had women, female passengers, that would save them even more money.
That's good. I don't know whether there's female pilots as well. I think the pilots are still male.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah.
Well, that's possibly the justification they're using. And presumably ugly women weigh more than pretty women, we're assuming at this point as well, right?
I don't know if anyone's worked
You're
out.
Saying it's sexist, are you?
No, not at all. No. Yes.
Well, not as bad as the Thai and the Turkish airlines. In 2010, there was a Turkish airline that gave 28 flight attendants 6 months to lose weight.
Okay.
Or they'd be sacked. And Thai Airways last year announced that female flight attendants had to be under a BMI of 25.6. Not only that, but they needed to keep their waistline to 81 centimetres.
Right, well, that's purely aesthetic. That's got nothing to do with fuel economy.
I mean, no smaller uniforms. You see, you use
less exactly. Fiber. Well, I mean, ideally, have the stewardesses wearing nothing at all. That would save a lot of money. I mean, there is some technical validity to this. American Airlines, a few years ago, stripped all the paint from their aircraft and went with shiny metallic fuselages, and they did actually see a reduction because every single gram that you transport into the air has to be fueled. I mean, that's the way it works. And you will get a saving, but I think that one, they've basically come up with the idea that they want pretty stewardesses right now. How can we get away pulling it off?
No, but they've also, I must say, in defence of budget go airlines, they have also instituted a smaller in-flight magazine and lighter cutlery. So every little helps, Steve.
Why can't they also hire smaller men?
Well, that's true. I think you're getting into to sort of murky water there, aren't you? Because how small is small enough?
Singapore Airlines does that. I think the men are smaller than the women. They're pretty small.
Is that a policy?
Well, they wouldn't be allowed to get away with.
Speaking of airlines.
Sometimes you see a letter of complaint comes along that's so good you have to share it.
I've seen this. You read it out.
Yeah, Richard Branson tweeted this. This is, "Dear Liat," this is a Caribbean airline, "may I say how considerate it is of you to enable your passengers such an in-depth and thorough tour of the Caribbean. Most other airlines I have travelled on would simply wish to take me from point A to point B in rather a hurry. I was intrigued we were allowed to stop at not a lowly one or two, but a magnificent 6 airports yesterday. And who wants to fly on the same aeroplane the entire time? We got to change and refuel every step of the way. I particularly enjoyed sampling the security scanners at each and every airport. I find it preposterous that people imagine them all to be the same. And as for being patted down by a variety of islanders, well, I feel as if I've been hugged by most of the Caribbean already. I also found it unique that all of this was done on island time, because I do like to have time to absorb the atmosphere of the various departure lounges. As for our arrival, well, who wants to have to take a ferry at the end of all that flying anyway? I'm glad the boat was long gone by the time we arrived into Tortola last night and that all of those noisy bars and restaurants were closed. So thank you, LIAT. I now truly understand why you are the Caribbean airline. P.S. Keep the bag. I never liked it anyway."
It's not a bad letter. So Richard Branson, that tickled Richard Branson's fancy, and he's tweeted it around the world.
Yeah, it's been picked up on by a lot of the various blogs already. Now, here's another worry of modern life, not having enough time to look at advertising. If you're worried that you're falling behind...
Well, there is so much to look at, you'll never get through it all.
That's right. And if you're having trouble staying abreast of it all, don't worry about this, because technicians have come up with a new solution. Train windows that vibrate when you fall asleep against them and transmit the ads directly into your skull.
Is this for real?
Yeah, it's convenient, isn't it? Means you don't even have to look up at the billboard. This comes from some visionary folk in Germany. High frequency oscillations that your brain then converts to sound. It's called bone conduction.
Yep.
So that's nice, isn't it? Coming home from work and hearing voices in your head on the commute.
I can't imagine
it's not
really pleasant, wouldn't it?
So that wasn't a rhetorical question, was it? No.
But I don't see why they can't convert the train windows into television screens at some stage that will simply play the ads.
Because it's easier because you're leaning against them already. You're cutting out the middleman. You see, it's going straight into your head.
Be more entertaining if you could look at the windows shimmer and convert into a screen. It's just my theory.
But you're asleep, you see. That's the thing. They're enjoying the fact that you're asleep and capitalising on
it. I'm running with this now.
I hope I have time to tell you all what Orson Welles thought of all of his friends in Hollywood.
No, you don't, because you've got to tell us about the gluten.
All right, I'll tell you very quickly about gluten. If you're worried that you have a gluten sensitivity and it's causing bloating and all sorts of side effects, be aware it might not be the gluten that's causing the harm. Because researchers at the University of Gutenberg have discovered that what many people think is gluten sensitivity could actually be linked to a specific protein that farmers are spraying on their crops to repel insects. It's called adenosine triphosphate amylase, and it's used to increase crop yield. But these researchers who looked at the immune responses to various types of wheat found that what people say is gluten sensitivity is linked to this adenosine triphosphate amylase.
Incidentally, that would be an enzyme, not a protein.
Thank you.
Just to be
I'm
really,
so glad
really pedantic.
We have a teacher on the panel.
Thank you.
Well done.
The
they need more data, though.
I bet they do. There'll be a field day with this research, won't they?
It's not.
It's what they're spraying on the crops, essentially.
It's the beginning of something, yes. To grow more, to increase yield.
There must be a lot of drift on that spray. It's interesting. Fascinating. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Noelle McCarthy, and on the panel, Neville Gibson and Steve McCabe today. Coming up shortly on Afternoons After the News, the weather and the mountain forecast.